Cambridge Breakfast
with Julian Clover and Lucy Milazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Now, have you ever had a bike stolen? I have, Lucy has, and 726 of the things were apparently reported to the police in the first 6 months of 2020 as having been stolen. Superintendent James Sutherland from Cambridgeshire Police is here now. Good morning to you, Superintendent.
Good morning, Julian.
Thanks for joining us again. I describe it as a Cambridge problem. It's a very Cambridge problem, though I appreciate we're not the only city where bikes get stolen. We had a tweet from Gemma Brown when we said we were going to be talking about this this morning, and she lost her bike last weekend and wanted to know if you considered bike theft to be a serious crime.
Do I consider it to be a serious crime? No. But let me just be careful about how I define that. The law doesn't consider it to be a serious crime. So the phrase serious crime has an actual meaning in law for us. It has a meaning in sentencing. And taken individually, is a bike theft a serious crime? No, it isn't. Is it a serious problem for the city? Well, yes, it is, because of just how frequently it happens.
Yeah. It's an interesting one, isn't it? I guess car crime of people breaking in and stealing cars isn't quite what it used to be, but it's still a mode of transport which, if it's stolen, causes a problem for the owner, in the same way that in Cambridge particularly, or even more so with all the COVID-19 measures that the County Council is putting in, we're being encouraged to get on our bikes more, and that presumably puts more bikes out there in the city at large to be taken. Is that is there sort of issues of proportionality around here too?
Well, during the sort of the lockdown period and the time after, what we actually saw was cycle theft fell dramatically by about 55%.
But there were clearly less people about, weren't there, at that
time?
Well,
precisely. So what we saw during sort of the lockdown period was a lot less people using public transport, so a lot less bikes sort of left at sort of stations and sort of bus stations where thieves will traditionally target. And a lot of this kind of the seasonal visitors to Cambridge, people who might have less awareness around the security of their bike or might not be quite as motivated to buy a really good lock. So sort of summer students, tourists, just weren't here this summer. So there were less vulnerable bikes around. So during lockdown, we actually saw a really staggering drop in cycle crime, along with other certain types of crime. Now, that's going back up. I'm not saying that we solved that problem. That wasn't us. That was because of lockdown and everything else that's going on. But cycle crime is a really endemic problem in Cambridge City. It has been for decades.
So what happens if somebody like Gemma or anybody else for that matter phones up and says, I've had my bike stolen, it was taken here, they cut through the lock, they did this, they did that. You know, what is then the procedure from your side of things? Do you look into it, or do you wait until you have, say, a pattern of bikes being stolen in a particular area, perhaps?
Well, it's a little bit of both. So every single report we get of cycle crime is looked at by a human being. We do not have an algorithm that is looking at cycle crime. We do not have a computer that is automatically following stuff. That doesn't happen. Every single report is read by a human being. And if there are really clear lines of investigation, we might reactively investigate that crime. However, what we know from history is that the opportunities to solve individual cycle crimes are really, really thin. There's very, very rarely any forensic evidence left. There's rarely witnesses to it because the people who steal bikes are pretty aware of what they're doing. And there's rarely CCTV because even if there is a camera in the area, even if it was pointing kind of exactly at where the bike was stolen, which is unusual, the people who are stealing cycles are very savvy towards masking their sort of identity, and it isn't that hard for them to conceal their identity. So we know that getting successful ID off the back of CCTV, even where it's captured, the offence is small. So, but what we do is, you're quite right, the reason why it is important for people one of the reasons is that it helps us to identify where patterns of bikes are being stolen
right.
from, and
so,
that allows us to direct our proactive activities rather than reactive.
So where are the hotspots? I know you mentioned, I think, sort of bus station, train station, that's an obvious one. The cycle park, which I thought was supposed to be a safe place to keep your bike, but I know that Greater Anglia, have the railway company there, have had a lot of criticism. I think they've done their best to try and address it. But, you know, where's a good place to leave my bike, assuming I have a decent lock to attach it to something?
Well, that's the key starting point. Nowhere is safe if you don't have a decent lock and if you don't actually use it. So when I dug into the details on this a little while ago, we found about 25% of bikes that were stolen weren't locked to anything. Another 25% were locked only to themselves. And so that there's no safe place if you don't have a quality lock. And we've still got shops in this town that are selling locks which are rubbish. They're just literally rubbish. They
How much would
no
you spend if you were going shopping for a new lock, as Lucy had to, the other day,
yeah.
because we couldn't unlock the present lock, so nobody's going to move that one. But so what should we buy?
Look, it's proportionate to A, how much you can afford. That's obviously kind of the biggest consideration. To how valuable your bike is. Any bike can be stolen. There isn't, people might think they've got a really cheap bike, no one's going to bother. Sadly, that's not true. But really sort of prestige and expensive bikes are going to stand out and they are going to be targeted. So if you're buying a very expensive bike, you need a very good lock. What I'll say is it's not just the cost of the lock, it's the security of the lock. And those two tend to go hand in hand, but there are testing sort of houses like the government Secured by Design website, which will rate and will give a sort of a standard to how good a lock is. And really, you need a silver standard lock or a gold standard lock. And there are some, we don't endorse any particular one brand, but there are some really quality brands out there. And a quick Google search will show lots of sort of cycling sort of websites and groups that will do reviews.
So is that the best thing to do? You'd say we should probably Google and work out which would be the best lock, rather than, there's lots of good cycle shops in Cambridge, of course, but we don't necessarily want to rely, we want to be armed with a little bit of information, if you like, to make sure that a particular lock is going to be the one that keeps our bike safe.
Definitely, but also how to use it, which I know sounds obvious, but conversations with I was having with Cam Cycle just last week, in fact, they've got a very good video on how to actually use the lock properly and how to best secure it, because it's only as good as the thing you've actually connected it to as well. And you might have a really strong lock, but if you've locked it to something which is not strong, well then the security's gone. But although locks are really important, and I'm really glad to have the chance of emphasized that, I fully accept that there is no lock is 100%. We've got some very well-equipped thieves out there. We don't have, I think, all of the facilities that we need yet to allow people to keep their bikes safe. And there are issues with kind of security around some of these hotspots. We've got to make sure that we've got really high quality and secure cycle rack that people can actually use. But that is not to move away from the fact that as the police, we have the responsibility to actually go out and catch these people.
Yeah.
So this is not all down to the individuals. And we are doing that. You know, we've arrested 72 people so far this year for cycle crime.
And what's happened to those? Yeah, what's happened to those 72? Have they gone through the court system yet?
26 of them were charged and gone to court. And I believe we're all convicted.
What happens to them then? You know, do you get people who, you know, they steal a bike, you catch them, and then they're sent to court, and a few months later they steal another bike and you catch them again?
Well, obviously it depends what happens in the court. A, not within my kind of say-so, it very much depends on the individual circumstances. However, I can tell you that right now there are people who are sat in prison for stealing bikes from Cambridge. And if you look, we always put out to the information where we've sort of had successful cases at court. We put out a couple last week. So there are people do get sent to prison for this crime. There are people in prison right now for stealing bikes in Cambridge.
And are they individuals? Are they individuals or part of groups?
Typically, they'll be individuals.
Okay.
There are more organised and less organised thieves, but typically these will be individuals. They might be stealing a lot of bikes, but it will be they will go out and steal a bike, and then tomorrow they'll go out and steal another one. But one of the things that we do with them and that we pursue through the courts is where we've got a prolific cycle thief and we've been successful in getting a conviction, we will apply for something called a criminal behaviour order. And that is a way for the courts to put conditions on someone, sometimes for years, to try and control their criminal activity after whatever sentence they've had has expired. So, for example, a criminal behaviour orders that we've got against cycle thieves in this town include conditions to not be in possession of any bike that you don't have proof of ownership with, not to go to certain parts of the city, like the cycle point, and things like that. And we've successfully arrested and prosecuted people for breaching these as well, and they typically receive stiffer sentences than the original sort of crime themselves. So there is, I do not want to give the impression on the sense to your listeners that I think we've solved this problem. We have not, and there is more that we can and that we are doing to deal with this problem this year.
Do you get to recover any of the bikes at all? Do they get reunited, or are they sort of shipped off to somewhere else?
Well, that's one of the other reasons for really encouraging people to report this. There's three reasons to report this. One is that it helps me in terms of understanding where the patterns are and to target the resources. Secondly, it's when I'm making a case for why I need certain resources or why we should be in certain things. If people haven't reported it, then it doesn't exist on a statistical level. Yeah, and I can't police on anecdotes. We need people to report. But the third reason is that we do sometimes, in fact quite regularly, come across these treasure troves of probably stolen bikes. Dozens, you know, sometimes. And the vast majority of them can't be identified.
People aren't marking the things, presumably. They should, you know, the old thing used to be to etch your etch your postcode somewhere on the underside of the bike.
There are a couple of, immobilise.com will allow you to register your bike. The National Bike Register is another one. We've, in the past and will continue in the future to provide sort of tamper-proof stickers and what have you. But every single bike, whether you do any of that, every single bike has got a unique frame reference stamped on it, normally in the same place. And the vast majority of people don't know what it is. So even if they do report it to us, they're not able to give us enough information that will allow us to say, this bike is definitely the one that was stolen. I mean, just the other week, we found 17 bikes which we suspect were stolen. We were only able to identify one of them. A real problem for us. So I do understand why some people, if you've had your bike stolen, if it's not very expensive, maybe you can think, well, the police aren't going to do anything anyway. What's the point? There is real value in doing that, because sometimes we recover these bikes. It genuinely helps us to direct the proactive resources to where they need to be. It helps me make the case as to why I need certain resources or why we should be doing sort of work around cycle crime. And sometimes, yeah, we do find these bikes. And where we do, there's nothing more frustrating for my officers than having a haul of suspected stolen bikes, the person who we think is either handling them or has nicked them, and not able to prove it because people haven't reported it to us.
Yeah, no, very much so. Well, look, thank you very much. It's one of these areas I rather suspect we might be coming back to it at some point, sooner or later. But thank you very much for joining us this morning, through that. That is Superintendent James Sutherland. He's based at Parkside Police Station. And that brings the time now to 8:47.